John Kachuba is the award-winning author of 12 books and numerous articles, short stories, and poems. Among his awards are the Thurber Treat Prize for Humor Writing, awarded by the Thurber House, and first place in the Dogwood Fiction Contest. John teaches creative writing at Ohio University, Antioch University Midwest, and the Gotham Writers Workshop. And, appropriately enough, for this time of year, he's a ghost hunter. He's the author of a number of books on ghost hunting in various states, including Ghost Hunting Ohio, On the Road Again. John, it's a pleasure to welcome you back again.
Well, thank you, Barbara.
Especially at this time of year. So I do want to ask you if you have had a particularly chilling or memorable experience with a ghost. Tell us, would you?
Well, I've had a few, and I will talk about one that's in Ohio. We were doing an investigation in Athens, Ohio, at a place called The Ridges, which actually was built in 1870-something as the Athens Mental Asylum. Actually, Athens Lunatic Asylum was the actual word of it. The building is now owned by Ohio University, so it's very difficult to get in there. But I did an investigation there with a group out of Columbus, and this was an old Gothic building, you know, very much huge and three floors, and most of the floors actually locked because of asbestos and lead and unsafe conditions. But I was able to get in with some friends, and we wandered the entire building overnight. We carried cameras and recorders. We carried them with us, but we also placed a few stationary in different areas. One of the places that we placed a recorder was down in the basement, and it was a little dinky, dark room that was literally what you would call the padded cells, you know, where they kept people who were in danger of hurting themselves or others. And you have to remember, this is 19th century, you know, psychiatry, not handled like we do today. So they had this literal jail cell, if you want to call it that, downstairs. We put a recorder in there, we locked it up, and we just walked out of that room. And we continued on the investigation. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, we took everything down and decided we were finished. So what happens now is what you don't see on TV when you watch a television show so much is hours and hours and hours of listening to audio and, you know, looking at video recordings. So we're listening to the recorder that we have placed in that room. And for the longest time, we're hearing nothing but just white noise, you know, shh, nothing else. And we're half asleep. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the white noise, we hear, "Would you help us?" It's like that. "Would you help us?" And that reaction that you have is the same. I still get chills now thinking about that.
Yes.
And that's called an EVP, electronic voice phenomena, which is something that people who do paranormal investigations will talk about a lot, where you don't hear anything. If we had been in that room at the time, we wouldn't have heard it. Yet the recorder picks things up. And we're not sure why that happens. But the voice was perfect in the sense that it matched the conditions. Because you can imagine, if you were there in 18 whatever, and you walked in, there was patients in that room, what would they be saying to you? "Would you help us? Get us out of here. Let us out." Right? Mm-hmm. So we heard that. And we thought, wow, that's an authentic recording, an authentic EVP. So that was very interesting. That place had a lot of activity. People that had been there as students or instructors who had their offices in there would see figures in the hall at night. They'd see these misty figures and all that. So there was a lot of activity going on there. We were able to record that. It was just, like I said, just listening to that just chills me.
I've talked with an author who wrote about that particular asylum, which started out in Victorian times as being very gentle, remove people from the stress of everyday life, and I think ended up being the site of the first lobotomies, and then a number of them were performed there.
That's right.
So quite a mixed reputation. And now is the arts building.
Well, there's an art museum on the ground floor, the Kennedy Museum. The rest of the building is still closed except for one floor that there's a partial wing where the art instructors at the university have their private studios, which is great. So they're across the river during the day teaching. Then at night, they come up here and they're working in this Gothic building doing their art. And they're still having experiences, yeah. I know.
So let's come a little closer to home. Chateau La Roche, also known as the Loveland Castle, has certainly had a number of sightings, and it was, of course, a newer building. This was the realized dream of Harry Andrews, yes?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So tell us about the paranormal activity that goes on there.
Well, the interesting thing is, I'm not sure that it's actually connected to the castle or not. As you said, it's a newer building. I mean, Harry started building that, I don't know exactly when, maybe back in the 50s or 60s. I think shortly after World War II, I think he began that. But there wasn't anything there. It was just the riverbank. And he built this reproduction Norman Castle. But people have seen figures there that don't make a lot of sense. Harry was the only occupant. He lived there by himself. He didn't have a family. So we're not sure what that is, especially when one of the figures that's seen is a woman. You know, and they see this sort of spectral woman floating around in the woods around the castle and down by the riverbank. Harry reported at one time that he had seen it himself. So we don't know who that is or why she would be there. There's no connection to the castle, to the building. So now you look at things like, was there something in that site in early history, you know, colonial history here, or when it was a frontier? Was there a cabin there or something? You know, did a woman live there? Did a person live there? But also there's been some sightings of a person, of a male, and some of the volunteers there, the Knights of the Golden Trail and some of the other folks, think that that might be Harry. There's been some signs like chess pieces that are moved on a board. They'll have them all lined up the way it should be, and next morning they'll come in and they'll be moved around as if somebody was playing a game. So those kinds of things, doors slamming and closing in the building and stuff like that.
And I'm interested to know what you think a ghost is, what creates a ghost, and are ghosts always troubled souls? Nevertheless, some nicer, some more malevolent, if you will. Tell us about your experience that way.
There's a lot of different theories, you know, and the traditional one, of course, is that a ghost is just the essence or spiritual remains, however you want to refer to it, of a living person that is still here, earthbound, as they say, stuck sometimes, people will say, usually because of some traumatic incident, suicides, murders, just unfinished business is sort of the common lore. But I think that there's something else going on. I'm not sure what a ghost actually is. I mean, I think we cannot rule out the power of our own brain and our own mind to fabricate what we want to fabricate. In Tibet, there are monks who have practiced meditation for years and years and years, and they say that they have imagined or visioned like a being in their mind as they meditate for years and years and years, and then actually bring that being into existence. They call that a tulpa. So if that's possible, if you can actually fabricate a living being in your mind, you can certainly fabricate an image of somebody. And there's a lot of wish fulfillment too. You know, somebody dies in your family and you're thinking about that person and you mourn that person. Then one day you walk into your house and that person is sitting in the rocker with their favorite pipe or knitting or whatever. You say, oh, grandma. And she smiles and waves and she's gone. And you feel a lot better. You're no longer grieving. So you wonder if that's a projection of your own. We certainly are capable of doing that. Or is there actually a real connection with another realm and that maybe you brought grandma back momentarily? I think that's one theory. The other thing is that I believe that something happens after we die. And I don't know what that means. I'm not a proponent of heaven or hell or any sort of those kinds of afterlives. But if you think about what Einstein was talking about with energy, all the energy of the universe being constant, you can't destroy it nor create it, but you can change it from one form of energy to another. And we know that everything is energy. You, me, these microphones, this table, everything is energy. So when we die, what happens to that energy? And that's a really general term. I'm sure a physicist would be arguing with you right now about, you can't, it's not energy, it's, you know, whatever it's called. But I'm not a physicist, I'm a writer. You know, is there some chance that maybe even some very small fraction of what we call us, me, you, goes on in some other level, some other energy frequency? I mean, I think that's very possible. And I don't know what that means. But if that happens, then it's also possible, I think, that we who are here at this level, if you want to call it that, can somehow at times interact with that other realm. So I think it's very possible that there is something going on, and that's we call it a ghost. As your question for malevolent and all that, I don't believe that there's evil. I'm going to use the word ghost again. I don't believe there's evil ghosts. What I think is that whatever kind of person you were here on Earth living your human life is what you're going to be like, whatever the next step is. Why would you change? You know, you wouldn't suddenly become an evil person. If you're good, you're good. If you're not so good, you're not so good wherever you go too. I think it just continues.
You know, I have heard there are sacred spaces on the earth. So are there places where spirits, ghosts collect that you know of? I mean, is that a phenomenon in the paranormal world?
There are places that they call vortexes. And for the most part, what they're talking about are places that have a high degree of energy, whatever that means. Sometimes it's electromagnetic energy that you can measure. And a lot of people believe that these areas of the world are portals to another realm because, again, of energy. And a lot of this is just natural energy created by the earth, you know, particular areas, especially electromagnetic energy, which we know is in everything. So yes, there are certain areas. Athens, Ohio, where I was teaching for several years at OU, which was the site of the asylum that we just talked about, is known to be one of those areas. And there's a lot of other sightings and things that have happened in that area besides just the asylum. So it could be because of this high energy sort of vortex area.
Does Bobby Mackey ring any bells with you in the area of ghosts?
Right, right. Well, I've been down to Bobby Mackey's. I love the fact that they have a sign post in there that says basically, we're not responsible for getting punched or kicked or anything else. That's the ghosts. We're not liable for anything they do. Yeah, there's a lot of activity there. I can't say that I've ever experienced anything down there when I've been down there. But yeah, a lot of people have had experiences down there. And I know it's been on many of the various ghost hunting TV shows. You know, almost everybody's been to Bobby Mackey's and have had some strange experiences down there.
How do you hear about what's the source of places that might have a ghost? How does that come to you?
Well, when I first started, I really didn't know anything about locations or anything else like that. And that was back in 2003 with my first book, Ghost Hunting Ohio. So what I did there was simply go on the internet and look for local places in Ohio. And then started checking those out because those were the well-known places. I thought, well, I have to talk about those. But Barbara, I'll tell you, after just getting out a little bit and writing a little bit about this, I've had people approaching me all the time, and they still do. Telephone calls, emails, when I give my public talks at libraries and universities, there's always people in the audience that will say, do you know about this place? It's right down the street. I say, no, I didn't. I could probably write like another 20 books about Ohio alone, not to mention the other states.
And there are actually several places locally that you mention in the book. So in case people want to go out exploring on Halloween, just want to tell us where those places are.
Well, I think one place, unfortunately, is under renovation right now, and that's Music Hall, which was one of my favorite places. And the interesting thing about that is I wrote about that when my book came out in 2004. I wrote about the events that have been happening at Music Hall since the day it was constructed, since early times. After I wrote about it, next thing you know, Music Hall was doing ghost tours, you know. But one of the earliest reports was back in 1876 by the Cincinnati journalist Lafcadio Hearn, who wrote about the construction of Music Hall and how the workers were unearthing human remains as they're digging the foundation. And his report it's in my book. It's gruesome. It's really so beautifully gruesome. And he talks about, you know, how they were throwing the bones around and bowling with skulls and, you know, spitting tobacco juice out of them and just totally desecrating the remains, which were the Washington Park remains. You know, his feeling is that that's probably what caused the hauntings. And when the Music Hall first opened as the Cincinnati Exposition Hall, he reports on one of the early expositions or, you know, sort of trade industrial fairs, they called them, that was held in that building. And he talks about a ghost appearing in one of those very early exhibitions back in 1877, 78, something like that, of a woman being seen on the floor and she was all decomposed and disappeared, you know. So that early. And then since then, there's been sightings in Music Hall ever since. And of course, we're still turning bodies up under Washington Park every time we do some renovation. We say, oh, we didn't get them all.
So last question, what do you do on Halloween?
You know, I take the day off. You know, I'm busy, especially in October, because I'm all around the state usually doing talks. I've got, I think, 12 set up this October already, and they're all over the place. So I do a lot of traveling and a lot of talks. Then on Halloween, that's my night. So I relax on my night and I wait for the spirits to come to me.
Let your spirit rest.
That's right. Let my spirit rest.
It's delightful to talk with you tonight. Thanks so much. And happy Halloween.
Well, happy Halloween to you too.
Thank you. I've been talking with John Kachuba, author of a number of books, including Ghost Hunting Ohio, On the Road Again. You'll find more information at wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.